I want you to turn with me this evening to Psalm 16. You know, I didn't think about this till I stepped up here just then. As long as I've been preaching, I never get bored with preaching. Isn't that amazing? I mean, every time you come and you just open up the scripture, it's just exciting just to see what God's going to say to you. And I want to read this psalm to you because of one part of it that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart. Even though we're going to look at the 11 verses as we look through this evening. But there's one portion of this that I really want to look into. Psalm 16, verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly or a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Would you stretch your hand this way and pray for me tonight? Our Father, we come before you tonight, Lord. We come before you tonight, Father God, to thank you for your mighty presence. Thank you, Father God, for all that you have done for myself and for this congregation. Thank you, God, that when we pray, our prayers will not go unheard. But God, I do pray that you, Father, would touch your people in a way that we would know that your presence has been here with us this evening. Father, I pray that the anointing of God would take us deeper into the place that you want us to go. In this message this evening, I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to talk for just a little bit this evening about verse number 11. The Bible says this in verse number 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. When I read that, I did not look at this as it said, paths with an S of life, but path of life. There's many roads in life. There's many decisions that have to be made in life. And life is from the time that we get up of the morning till the time that we lay our head on our bed at night is filled with choices. Life is about choices. And every day you and I have to make choices as to which path we will walk on. Whether we will walk in the path of righteousness or whether we will walk in the pathway of sorrow and a pathway that ultimately would lead to death and to destruction. When the psalmist opens this particular grouping of scripture up, it actually said in commentaries, I was reading it earlier today, as I was studying earlier, and it began to say that this particular psalm, as with many other psalms, And it gave a reference, I believe, over to Psalm 73 or 76, I can't remember. But it said this was a collection or a part of collections of psalms that was sung in the tabernacle. Could you imagine the anthem that was sung or the song that was sung in a mannerism or in a mode, if you will, that would be one that would lead the people that was there to see the picture in their mind's eye, if you will, of what would happen to those that walk in the way of destruction and then those that would walk in the way of righteousness. I'm glad tonight that I'm on the right way. What about you? I'm glad tonight to know that David, even in the psalm, David in Psalm 51, David prayed this prayer. He said, if you will help me, forgive me, I will teach transgressors their ways. Now, again, when I begin to think about a lot of different things, we think about trespasses, we think about iniquities, we think about wickedness, we think about the different things that goes along with that word trespass. But I'm so thankful that the Bible reminds you and the Bible reminds me that God has forgiven us of all of our trespasses and all of our iniquities. As people of God, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, the Bible reminds us that we are God's people and that He is our God. We have got the same God. The Bible reminds us, and I read it earlier, that said that Israel is the apple of God's eye. But therefore, and people look at this in a couple of different ways, they say, you cannot equate yourself as Israel, not in the physical sense, but in a spiritual covenant that we've made through Jesus with God. We are equal to what God was saying to the children of Israel then. We are still under a blood covenant, the blood covenant that was made possible through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He said to Israel, you are the apple of my eye. That's the pupil, the ninja, the very center point of your eye. And God says, I've got my eye on you, that you are that important to me, that I am watching you, I am watching over you through as the arrows would come at you by night and through whatever would come at you by day. The Bible said there over Israel that God was a pillar of cloud to them by day to protect them from the heat rays of the sun, but a pillar of fire by night to show them which way that they were to go. And I'm glad for that tonight. And I confess with my mouth that God, my friend, is on our side. We are not orphans and we are not on our own. I'm glad that we got God Jehovah, the God that spoke the world into existence and put every star in its place. He is watching over you. He is watching over me. The first thing that I begin to notice when I looked at this psalm, and I'll tell you how I got to this point in a few minutes, but when I first looked at this psalm, yes, verse number 11 was what was on my mind. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Again, it happened yesterday in prayer. That's why I can't miss prayer meeting no more. God is doing something on Tuesday morning. I don't know who can come and who can't come, but God is beginning to show up on Tuesday morning in our prayer time. And I was here yesterday, and I was just like a sponge, if you will. And the power of God began to move in this little room, if you will. And the only thing I could think about was, God, how lovely it is to be in your presence. I began to think, I made myself happy over there in my corner where I pray, thinking about the presence of the Lord, thinking about how good God is, thinking about that He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. And then I opened Psalm 16, and He opens these words and he begins to look at this. And the psalmist was saying in verse number 1, and this is what he said. He said, preserve. He said, preserve me, knowing, oh yes, that we are preserved in him. We're not going to, if I had time, I'd turn to Psalm 91 and I would read it all. But I'm not going to be afraid of the snare of the devil. I'm not going to be afraid of the fowler by night. I'm not going to be afraid of what the enemy might be able to do unto me, because I know without shadow of a doubt that if God be for me, then who in the world can stand against me? Because I know who he is. That's preaching material right there. I know who he is. And he says, I'm going to preserve you. Again, these were songs that were sung to Israel. Commentary talked about how they were fighting their enemies, whoever their enemies may have been at that particular time. They were Hittites, Canaanites, Jebusites, all them otherites, Amalekites, Moabites, Termites. No, not really. All the ites. I mean, everywhere you turn, there was enemies against them. And they had to fight their way to victory. They had to fight their way to Canaan, if you will. But God, through the psalmist, confirmed to them that you are preserved in me. I looked this word up. When I began to look at this and I began to read through this text, the psalmist again, he opens up this psalm with, preserve me, O God. In all reality, the commentary said that it was actually a plea. It was a plea for God not to forsake them in the midst of the fear from their enemy or of their enemy. What are you and I looking at today? You and I are looking at all kinds of troubles and all kinds of obstacles and all kinds of things today that seem to be distracting and still in our mind and still in our thought life. But God said, preserve me. Now, Janet back there is a person that takes fruit and puts in jars. She'll even put chicken in jars. I've not eaten none of it, but she puts chicken in jars. It looks okay. Maybe I did eat some of it one time. Matter of fact, I did. But we think about, you know, you got anybody besides Janet can? Any of you ladies can? Charlotte's not here. Charlotte's done it. But they put things in jars. And they preserve them. They keep it from spoiling. Sort of like us having this treasure in this earthen vessel that we have. That God is preserving us. That God knows how to keep the enemy from destroying. I looked this word up, preserve. And again, that might not be a very good analogy, but I was sitting there at my desk this morning, Janet. I sure did think about it. I thought about how that you know how to preserve food and you know how to can food. And my granny canned about 100 or more jars of green beans every year. When we first got married, I cannot tell you how many times I went down to Granny's and I said, you got any beans? And she said, yeah, go down there and get you a few quarts. And I would go down into her basement, and over on the right-hand side, she had like 4 or 5 shelves full of green beans that had been there since 1958. You know what I would look for, Janet? I'd look for them shiny tops. Those shiny tops was the new jars. I wasn't going to get back there in them other ones. So, and I guess they were good. I have no idea. But in that, I look at that and I'm thinking, you know what? That is a unique thing to be able to put beans or beets or pickles or cucumbers or grapes or drink grape juice. I remember that too. And it will be preserved. And who are we to think that God don't know how to take care of us? If God gave us enough sense to know how to preserve food, he knows how to preserve you. He knows how to take care of you. Again, he told those disciples before he went back to glory, he said, hey, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have that kind of promise as a child of God this evening, that God said, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me. I might go to sleep with you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm nowhere near sleepy. Now, preserve means this. When there's like four different words as you begin to look at this, and I'm not going to take the time to turn to all the scripture, maybe some of them, but there's actually four or five different words that was mentioned in my Vine's Concordance or my Vine's Dictionary of the Bible. And if you don't have one of them, you need to get you one. They're really good. The first thing he said, that God preserved me, O God, he says that first word for preserve is actually a word that means to keep. To keep. And he says this over in Isaiah. This is Kay Leonard's favorite verse, that the Bible says that the Lord, that God will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. That God knows how to give you peace, and God knows how that you and I can keep peace by keeping our eyes focused and stayed upon him. Isn't it amazing when Peter was there and they were all in the boat and they were asleep and Jesus was there and the storm was there and how that all that was going on, and Jesus, the Bible said, Jesus was there in the bow of the ship. He was back in the back of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow. And then all this temperance, the storm come, the problems come. Listen, problems is always going to come. I heard a message years ago by one of our former state youth directors, Randy Ferris, and he says there's several things that you need to know about storms. Storms will come. Most of the time, a storm is coming, people are in a storm, or they just come through a storm. Storms will come. This afternoon, and this is nowhere in my notes, but I was working this evening with somebody really close to me that's sitting nearby, and that alarm went off on my phone. I was outside, and it's like, tornado warning in your area. Anybody besides me get that on your phone? And the first thing you start doing, like I did, you start looking around at the clouds, and he's like, well, where's it at, you know? Then people in Texas didn't have to worry about that. They saw it. But man, there was a big line of black clouds come through, and I thought about the storm. Sometimes storms will come. But God, that first word for preserve is to keep. To keep. The second one for preserve is, and again, I didn't go through and look up a lot of scriptures on this. This is just a definition. But it says to preserve is to be not only kept, but the second part of it is alive. Amen? And I thought about that as we're alive in our spirit. Our spirit man's alive. Amen? He's made us alive. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And he's made us a living sacrifice. The Bible says that we become alive in him. And he teaches us all throughout the New Testament to awake thou that sleepeth and be alive unto him. And I don't know, it's just me this evening how I feel this. But there's, and don't get mad at me when I say stuff like this, there's too many dead, defeated Christians. Because I'm not pointing at you, I'm just saying, if we're alive, we ought to be rejoicing. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's not always about the outward expression or the choreographic expressions of who we are and what's going on. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're alive in Jesus, the rest of you are going to know it. Amen. Somebody say amen. The rest of you are going to know it. Again, there's too many humdrum and there's too many defeated children of God out there today. We're not defeated. We're not defeated. Again, the psalmist says, preserve me, O God. The word preserve, again, means to guard. He's going to set his guard about us. And I'll get into that if I have time a little bit later on. But it means to guard. And it means to, I love this one, just as a mother hen would gather her chicks under her wings. The Bible says that's what God was for Jerusalem. He cried out, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how many times would I come? And then he said, you would not turn to me. But then he says, I would have gathered you as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings. This word preserve means to protect. And I'm glad he protects. Just like Dawn and Dawn the other day, Joan, just like them last week. In the middle of what would have been a disastrous situation, when this girl hydroplaned on the road and the car spun and turned, and it landed right near their car. And Don said he was able to look the girl in the eye. It could have been a deathly situation. You think, well, God ain't never done anything like that for me. You don't know that. You don't know how many times God's protected you. I have a good friend here tonight, Michael Love, that drove a tractor trailer for years. How many times did he keep you in the middle of the night working graveyard, driving a double up and down 85? And I'm sure you've seen a lot of wrecks through the days. But how many times has God protected you? How many times has God done that? So many times. So many times. And I don't even have time to go into different stories that I can tell you. Every time that we get in the highway or in a car, and then he talks about this, and I may turn to this one and read it really quick. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. 2 Timothy 4 and 18. This is what it says. It actually picks up on this verse as what this actually talks about in the New Testament sense. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Woo! That's a good one. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. God will keep you from evil. But more than that, evil will keep you from God. But the Bible says that God will keep you from evil. Amen? And then he says, to whom be glory forever and ever. And this other word for preserve is a word that is sozo, and it means to save. Aren't you glad that you are saved, your salvation, but also you are saved from all the elements around you? The second part to verse number 1 of Psalm 16 says, he says this, and he says, because I will put my trust in you. In thee do I trust. In thee, and a lot of people, the Bible says some men trust in riches and some men trust in chariots. But God, I put my trust in you. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. No, path. Path. One path, one way. Somebody say it's the right way. Many choices, but one path. On his path, we're preserved. On his path, we're kept safe. How many times on his path, again, God is setting a guard about us. Second thing is, when I begin to think about this, he says in this scripture, and he says this in verse number 2, he says, O my soul, thou hast said unto my Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to thee. Again, when you think about this verse number 2, it is a term, the idea of finding nothing desirable on earth apart from the Lord. In other words, the psalmist simply said, Lord, without you, I have no reason to exist. And he talked about this. He said, for I will put my trust in thee. In the middle of verse number 2, he mentions this again. He said, that thou art my Lord. Adonai is the word. Lord attributes to the understanding of master. Master. We sing the song about Jesus, master. Have you allowed him to be your master? Not only just your Savior, but your Lord and your master. And that makes me think about something else. As him being our master, you can go read this in Romans 8. We've got to be yielded to his care. We gotta be yielded to him. Let me say it the way I feel it. God will take care of you. That's a mountain word. God will take care of you if you'll let him. Amen? Amen. I'll leave that where it's at right now. No, I won't. Because there's too many rebels. There's too many people that kick against God. Paul was told, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you to kick against me, Paul. Don't be a rebel. Be pliable. Be clay in the master's hand. Let me move fastly. He says this in the word again. And he says in the scripture, he says, my goodness extendeth not to thee. In other words, when you look at this word again, he was saying, I find nothing desirable on earth apart from the Lord. Only God, only you, Lord, only your presence. Now that brings me to the latter part of what I want to talk about this evening. Because you can read the middle part of this, and the middle part of this basically describes how much unrest and those that do not trust in God, and how much those that drink the blood of idols, and how much those that rebel against God, they fall into unrest, and they fall into a situation where there's absolutely no peace at all for them. You ever seen people that have no peace, and you talk to them about God and how to get their life straightened out with Jesus and turning their life over to God? They just look other directions. They want the benefits of God, but they don't want to love God. Some people create their own storm and they cry when it rains. And I tell you what, my friend, God's just and God's perfect in all of His ways. And God said in His Word that He would bless us. And we are a blessed people this evening. The psalmist talked about this in the latter part, and I'll get there eventually, but I want to go ahead and mention it as we're headed in that direction. He says here in the Lord in verse number 11, and I'm not going to go there yet. I just want to mention a portion of it. Because he says here, he says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Again, I'm not ready to go all the way into that yet, but I'll go there in a few minutes. Let me ask you a question. We sing this song, In the Presence of Jehovah. I've sung it a lot for years. Now, I want you to think really about this evening. Listen, I'm not a psychologist. I don't have a degree in nothing but neology. If you want to ask me what that degree is in, I'll tell you a little bit later on. Neology, think about it. Get on your knees. but here's the thing. I begin to think about God's presence. And this is what I want to ask you. And this is a serious question. How long has it been since you stayed till God showed up? You know, years ago, Sandra, there wasn't no escaping in altar service. They would get you down in the altar service, and you was going to hang on and let go until something happened. You was going to pray through. But I began to think about yesterday in my pathway of walking in this building praying about God's presence. Folks, we need God's. We don't need another religious service. We don't need another fast song. Come on, somebody. We don't need just another chorus for the sake of another chorus. We don't need another choir song just for the sake of another choir song. What we've got to have is God's presence. We need God's presence more than we need anything else. I was thinking about this and how that David, again, in the psalm, it's in Psalm 84, I think it's verse 10. I'll have to look and tell Kathy where it's at. Hey, I got it right. Psalm 84 and 10. And this is what the psalmist said. When you look at this, he says it's in the Word because he valued God's presence. And I ask us this question. If God's going to preserve us, it's in God's presence that there's fullness of joy. Would you and I not be wanting to be in God's presence where we know God is? And again, this is me. It's not hard to get into God's presence. The Bible teaches us that God inhabits the praises of His people. I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about this. You may not feel like praising God. You may not even feel like God's anywhere nearby. But God says in His Word, if you look at it, He said that God inhabits the praises of His people and it is in the middle of God's presence or God's praises that God comes in to where you're praising Him. You want to get in the presence of God? You open up your mouth, You begin to glorify Him. You begin to magnify Him. You begin to say, I love you, Jesus. You begin to glorify Him as the Son of God. You say, well, preacher, I've never raised my hand in all of my life. Hey, try it. You might like it. Come on, somebody. Because the Bible said, lifting up holy hands without doubt. And the Bible says, oh, clap your hands unto the Lord, and to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and praise ye the Lord. But God inhabits the praises of His people. If it's nothing more than a glory to God, or a hallelujah, or Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I praise you. You say, well, preacher, does it really take all that emotionalism in the church today? I must tell you that when I'm praising my God, it is far more than just emotionalism. Amen. Amen. I can hit my finger with a hammer and it'll be pure emotion. Oh, but when I think about how God hath preserved me, how that God's kept me from my enemy, how that God is on a path in front of me. And when I begin to praise Him, Sister Janice, when the praises go up, the glory comes down. You want the glory come down? You begin to praise Him, magnify Him. I promise you, if you that are here on a Wednesday night, if you'll just get radical with me on a Sunday morning, if you'll begin to praise God because you were here tonight, I'm going to tell you something, friend. It won't be long till it'll get off on the one next to you and the one next to you, and we'll have what we know as a praise celebration unto the Lord. But it starts with one. It starts with somebody. Somebody that wants to praise Him. And as we praise Him, His presence will come. And I'm going to go ahead and shake that bush one more time. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in saying amen. You say, well, I don't want to disturb the preacher. If you do anything that's going to disturb me, you'll probably be out of order. Because, my friend, I'm not against a hallelujah every now and then, or praise the Lord every now and then. You know what I'm saying? Somebody says, well, I don't want to disturb nobody. That is a mortuary where you don't want to disturb nobody. That's not a sanctuary. It's okay. It's okay. And we can praise Him in God's house. David says this in Psalm 84 and 10. He knew where the king was. He knew that he was right there behind those doors. He said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. David was saying this as he began to talk about this. He said that the psalmist would rather stand outside the entrance of the temple without shelter than to live in the comfort of the wicked world. I'd rather be in God's care. I'd rather be sheltered under the arms of God. Again, he said, when you look at this, in Psalm 84 and 10, when he looks at this, again, he says, I know where the king is. If I'm outside the gate and it's the Holy of Holies, I know where the king is. David again was saying, I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be at God's house where God is than anywhere else I know. Amen, amen, and amen. When you think about this, he began to walk through this. When you look in verse number 4 of our text tonight, and I'm going to go through the next few verses really, really quick. He says this about verse number 3 and 4. He said, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom all is all my delight. Then he talks about their sorrows shall be multiplied that have hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer nor take up the names into my lips. In other words, he says that again, when you look at the first part of this, their sorrows has multiplied. Their sorrows are multiplied because they have went after other gods. That's what he says. And then he says that I will not offer or take up the name into my lips. I'm not even going to speak the name of Moloch or Ashtaroth or one of these idol gods, if you will. In other words, he says, I'm going to keep myself pure before God. And let me just hit on that for a second. Somebody says, so you're one of them holy rollers. And I almost despise the terminology holier than thou. Because the world will never understand the righteousness of God. The world will never understand why I conduct myself in a manner that is pleasing unto God. I am no better than anybody else. I'll go to the ends of the earth, if you will, if I can use that term, to try to help anybody I possibly can help. But there's one thing that I'm not, and that's holier than thou. Because I know exactly from where I have come, and I know exactly how quick I can fall. Come on, somebody. I know that God's grace has kept me through the years, and I know that God's grace has preserved me even now. But there's choices that I have made. There is a path that I have decided to walk on, and it is the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. Come on, somebody. I want to live for Jesus so that I can dwell in his presence. Not only now, but for all eternity, we're going to live with him. This whole world, what's that song say? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. This whole world don't know the joy that you and I have. I've had a song on my mind for about a week now, and I don't even know if y'all ever heard it or know it. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But that old song says, this joy I have, the world didn't give to me. And then it goes, oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give to me. Oh, this joy that I have, the world didn't give to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but I've sung that a lot to myself through the years. But I've had that song on my heart for 2 or 3 days. Can't sing it tonight on a high-pitched voice. But anyway, the joy that I have, the joy that I have, it don't come from this world. What God has done, God's presence, my friend, should be the desire of every person in this room. Not man-made substitutes, they won't last. They may offer some type of temporary satisfaction from a temporary event, but only God can last or will last. Amen. I don't know where Jody went. Penny, come on. And he says again to Israel again, he began to tell them, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, verse 5, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. In other words, God has my inheritance. God's got my inheritance preserved. John said it, how that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and again, when it says that I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, guess what? I've got a home that's out of this world. Amen. Man knows not of it. I don't even know my street address. But I'm going to tell you, it might be on 43 Gold Avenue. I don't know what it'll be, because the Bible says the streets are as transparent gold. I'm telling you what, friend, it's going to be glorious one day over there. It's going to be glorious. But we think about heaven, but we also think about what God told this psalmist. Again, you can read through the rest of this, and there's a lot in there. But he says in verse number 9, he says, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth my flesh. And he says, also shall rest in hope. We have a hope. Look at your neighbor and say, I have a hope. Paul said, if I have hope only in this world, or in this world only, I am above all men most miserable. Amen? I have a hope. I have a hope. I have a hope. Day in and day out, there's something inside of my heart. There's something internally inside of me that drives me. And you know what it is, Sandra? It's hope. It's hope. Hope in God. Talks about my soul shall hope in thee. Hope in God. We are preserved. Our hope is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. We don't dwell with the wicked. We don't participate in other men's sins. That's what the Bible says. Though the wicked fall to our right and to our left, God is taking care of us because His eye is on us. Then He says this in the latter part of this, "For thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." Again, this makes a connection here to this as the grave. It's not talking about here in the burning hell, but it talks about the grave, Sheol. And it says, "Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." In other words, we will never see the corruption of hell. Hello? We will never see that. But we think about this in the scripture. And again, I'm just skipping over a whole lot. Verse 11. Then he says in verse 11, and this was the main verse of the whole thing. He says, when you look at that thou will show me the path of life. Psalm 1 opens this up, and we're not going to turn there and go down that because it'd take too long. But he said that if we are in Him, that we're like a tree that's planted by the waters, that He is sustaining us, that He's nourishing us. We're growing in Him. Even though the storms come, even though the valleys are deep, sometimes we don't understand, sometimes we can't explain it. But you know what? God always will sustain us. The last thing says, in thy presence. You want joy this evening? You want your joy back? You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've been through for the last 5 years. I don't. But I'm going to flip the coin on you. You don't know what I've been through for the last 5 years. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? The joy of the Lord, not circumstances, not situations. Situations will always come. Situations will always go. But the joy of the Lord is my strength. When you think about joy, somebody says, well, there's a lot of difference between joy and happiness. How do you know that? Happiness is oftentimes based upon circumstances and events, life events, those things going on around us. But you know what? I've got, Horace knows this, we got dear friends that's passing in the situation I mentioned earlier. But the joy of the Lord is still our strength. Amen? Because we know who Jesus is. Amen? Last thing, here we are. He says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Look at that. In thy presence, there is joy. In thy presence of joy. In thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. When I looked this up and I was reading it, it talked about at the right hand. It talked about it, Brother Jones, being a militant term. That God is at the right hand. God is at our right hand. It talked about soldiers training other soldiers. And then they would have a soldier at their right hand for their protection. Talked about God being there for our protection. It even went on and it talked about that in a few other little ways that I don't even want to talk about right now. It's a good thing, but I don't want to get into that. But it said again, when you look at this, he says, at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. The pleasure comes when we know God. The pleasure comes when we know that God said, I will never leave thee, nor will I forsake thee. That no matter what we're going through, God's protection is there. The joy is there. But more than anything else, I am protected by the hand of God against all the wiles of the enemy, against all the attacks of the enemy. Somebody said, well, I sure do wish the devil would leave me alone. But I'm going to tell you something. When the devil leaves you alone, somebody said that to me a while ago. When the devil leaves you alone, that might be a good indication that he's got you. But I don't want the devil to leave me alone. Hello? Did you hear what I just said? Because I know he's out there fighting me, Brother West. And if he leaves me alone, I might get too comfortable in my skin. You know what I mean? I might get too comfortable thinking I've got the tiger by the tail. And it might be the other way around. Hey, I'll tell you one quick story and then I'll be done. When I first got saved, within days of me being saved, my brother had went to the Navy or or he wasn't home, or whatever the case may be. We shared a bedroom. And I was laying there in the bed, and I was looking at the window kindly, and my back was to the door, my bedroom door. And just like that, Sandra, the thought came to me, the devil's behind you, laying with my back to the door, and that thought come into me. And I'd just gotten saved a few weeks before that, but that quick, the devil's behind you. And I'm going, oh, laying in the bed, quivering, oh, the devil's behind you. Like, what am I supposed to do now? So I just went on to sleep. I didn't know anything about rebuking the devil, submitting yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil. I didn't know anything like that. But I was laying there in the cover sort of quivering. So I went and told Buford Letford. Buford's the old country preacher that I got saved under. And I said, Buford, or Brother Letford, I didn't call him Buford. That's disrespectful. I said, Brother Letford, I never called the pastor by his name. I always called him Brother Letford and others. And I thought, oh, my Jesus. I thought, Brother Letford. I said, and years ago we was a lot more formal than we are now, but that's okay. But y'all want to call me Brother Allen, that's okay. Not a problem at all. Don't call me Old Holy One of Reverend Degree. No, just Brother Allen, be fine. But anyway, Pastor, I like Pastor as well. But I told Brother Letford, I said, oh, something happened the other night. He said, what was it, son? I said, I was getting ready to go to sleep, my devil was behind me. He said, what? I said, I was getting ready to go to sleep, my devil was behind me. He said, oh, praise God. I said, praise God? What do you mean, praise God? He said, son, as long as he's behind you, you ain't got nothing to worry about. I'm thinking, well, praise God, he got something right there. You know, as long as the devil's behind me, God's in front of me. Amen. Amen. Stomp the devil under your feet. Stand with me tonight. I pray that God would touch you tonight, that God would lead us in the path of righteousness, the path of life, and that we will be so earnest, that we would be a hunger inside of us that is sparked. Think about this serious question that I asked you earlier. How long has it been since you've really got after the presence of God? The book of James gives us the nugget and says, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. Father, I thank you for the word, for thy word is truth. And without you, Lord, we cannot do anything at all. And Lord, we love your presence. You said in your word, God, that in your presence there's fullness of joy. And Lord, I thank you for that joy. I thank you for the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength. That God, that even on our lowest moment or our saddest day, that you are our strength. And I thank you for that, Lord. I give you praise and glory for it. Now, Lord, we just lift up our hands tonight, Lord, to you, to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And Lord, we praise you. We honor you and we thank you. And we thank you for your ever abiding presence that's ever with us, Lord. That God, that we will not go anywhere where your presence is not. And God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. I promise you, if you'll get after God, God will get after you.